I will build my church is what Jesus has promised us he is going to do. And I want to continue talking about that today a little bit. And just with a very quick reminder that Jesus has promised he will build his church. It's not my church, it's not your church. This is the church we belong to, but we belong to his church, the body of Christ. We, the ecclesia, the people who are called out of the world, aren't we? And into salvation. And we've got our part to play. You've got your part to play. Did you know that? Yeah? It's not just up to the famous pastors and preachers and people. It's up to every single one of us. And we're in partnership with God. Aren't you glad that we're in partnership with God? Because if we're not, we're on our own, aren't we? But we're in partnership with him. And we are the bride of Christ. That's the picture that we have. And somebody shared something this week that just made me think about... There's the wise and the foolish virgins, isn't there? You know, and that five of them have got enough oil and five of them aren't ready and they get shut out. And folks, we need to be ready because Jesus is coming back. You go and watch the news. And if Jesus ain't coming back soon, he is, isn't he? You can see it. But we need to be ready. And that's the point, which is not what I want to particularly talk about today. I want to talk about this today, that we need to be in the power of God. Zechariah 4:6 tells us this, not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. And I do want to look at power because it's the power of the Holy Spirit, isn't it? It's not by our own power, not by our own strength, not by our own skill, wisdom or ability, but by the power of God, because that changes everything. God has said that he chooses the foolish things of this world. Do you feel foolish this morning? Because if you do, that's good, because he wants to use us to confound the wise and to share this incredible news of Jesus Christ. Because that's what it's all about at the end of the day, isn't it? What David has shared is this. Everyone has sinned, but everyone who calls on the name of the Lord, and we could look at the detail of what it means to be a Christian. But everyone who calls on the Lord will be saved. We live in a day and age where people are calling sin righteousness. There's nothing wrong with what we're doing. But actually the Bible says this, all have sinned. So the minute we start to say, oh, well, I'm okay, I've not. This is not sin, or that's not, we're fooling ourselves. But we have got this good news to tell. And if you've got your Bibles with you, if not, there's ones on the ends of the pew. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians 2. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 1. This is Paul writing to the Corinthian church. And I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I was with you in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling, and my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. And I want to pick up on that line that says that it was the demonstration of the Spirit. Now, that's the Holy Spirit, just to be clear. The demonstration. Now, let's just think about this for a moment. This is not particularly about the sermon, but just to learn something. Because when we read our Bibles, if we read those few verses, we would say it's just about the demonstration of the power of God, wouldn't we? Because that's what he's saying. Because he said he came not with persuasive words. He came with fear and with trembling. This is the great apostle Paul, who says in some different places in his letters that I was bold in writing, but in person he was timid, he was fearful. But he came with a demonstration of the power of God. That's what I want to focus on today. But as we think about that, and this is important in reading the Bible, if we read one verse out of context and we don't read everything else, we end up mixed up and basing our doctrine and our theology on one thing. So, is it just about power? No, it's about the word as well. Because if we read on a little bit further, the next verse, verse 6, he says this. However, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages of our glory. And so we see right away there, as we read a little bit more, that there's power and the speech. But as God dropped this on my heart and I was studying and praying about this, I felt God lead me to the story of Apollos in Acts 18. And it says this in Acts 18, verse 24. Now a certain Jew named Apollos, born in Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus. This man had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in spirit, he spoke and taught accurately the things of the Lord, though he knew only the baptism of John. So he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, when Aquila and Priscilla heard him. They took him aside and explained to him the way of God more accurately. And when he desired to cross to Achaia, the brethren wrote, exhorting the disciples to receive him. And when he arrived, he greatly helped those who had believed through grace. For he vigorously refuted the Jews publicly, showing from the scriptures that Jesus is the Christ. So we see two things going on here. We see the power of God demonstrated, which is what we want to focus on. But we see the word of God in action very clearly. And really, I suppose what we would say about Apollos is this. He was an apologist, wasn't he? He got his apologetics. He was defending the word of God. He knew how to, you know, when people ask the really difficult questions about the Bible, he knew how to answer them. He was eloquent, he understood it, and he could speak to them on their level. And he showed them from the scriptures that Jesus was the Christ. And it's interesting that he knew the way, but he had to have it explained a little bit more to him. But he spoke it well and he spoke it right. So we need to speak it right. We need to know our there are many great apologists. They understand so much, don't they? Have we got any apologists here today? We really need to know the word, and they can defend it because they know it so well. Very often they can speak the Hebrew and the Greek. But I just love that we've got this picture of the word and deed. And I want to talk about the power of God this morning, because we need the power of God. I think in the church, the modern church, and I'm not criticizing anybody, I'm just thinking, what's the way forward for the church of God? We need the power of the living God to be demonstrated, don't we? We need the power of God to be demonstrated. Now, if I gave you an example of love, how would we demonstrate love? Malk, I love you. Is that demonstrating it? It's saying something, but it's in the action, isn't it? Yeah? I do love you, by the way, just so you know. This morning, I don't know whether to share this or not, because I'll probably be in tears, because I was in tears this morning after I... let me just compose myself for a second. There was an old chap outside just leaning on the wall, lovely old gentleman, and he got a bag with him, and I thought, what's he doing here, you know? So I went up to him and I said, are you all right? And he said, and he told me some stuff, and he seemed a little bit confused. And having met people who have wandered off and have got dementia, this happened a couple of months back, or 6 months ago, I met somebody and he was completely lost. And he was obviously was lost because he was upset and he was telling us, but this guy was out the front. He said, I'm waiting for somebody to pick me up, and he tried to explain his situation. And I asked him a few questions. I've got to be honest, I don't quite know what was going on with him. But I said, look, they've not come to pick you up. They're really late. He didn't know their names. So there was a few confusing details. I said, let me take you home. I said, where do you live? He said, in Lower Gornal. And he told me his address, because at first he looked like he couldn't remember it. So I'm thinking, oh dear, what am I going to do here? So I took him home, and he got his keys and he went in. It's very trusting of him, wasn't it, really? I could have been anybody. Well, I was at the church, so I was opening the gate. So there was a clue that I was from the church. So hopefully that went a little bit of a way. And I was talking with this guy, and we'll call him Des, for argument's sake, and that was his name as well. So we'll call him Des. And he was just this lovely old chap, and I just felt such compassion for him that he was out there in the sun, he hadn't got a drink with him. I don't know his exact situation. I don't know what he was telling me, whether it was exactly right or not. He seemed a little bit confused. Anyway, I took him home. You'd have done the same, wouldn't you? You'd have done the same. He was an elderly gentleman. I took him back to his house, made sure he got in safely. And which in these days, it just makes you think, doesn't it? When he tells, or he probably won't tell his daughter that happened, because he said she won't let me go out. She'll surround me with barbed wire and I'll never go out again. He was 94, he was. But if she finds out, she'll say, oh, Dad, you know, you don't know who that person was, you know. So there is that sense of it. But of course, obviously, I'm a good person. I'm not going to do anybody any harm. The point of the story is this. I demonstrated compassion to him. I demonstrated love to him. I demonstrated that somebody cared for him and made sure that he was okay. Again, I don't know the full story. He knew his address. He knew his date of birth. He knew certain things that made, you know, he knew what he was talking about. In fact, he said to me, in a very polite way, and I was very polite with him, he said, I'm not crackers. I thought, that's good, isn't it? Anyway, it's the demonstration, isn't it? The Good Samaritan is the demonstration of somebody showing love. It's the demonstration of somebody not showing love and somebody showing love. But we need to see that. But we need to see the demonstration of the power of God. Because we're not talking empty words, are we? We're not talking about a Bible that is just a book that was just written, that's historical. It is historical, but this is the living Word of God. And I believe the living Word of God, and I believe that God still heals today. I believe that the Holy Spirit still moves today. And I'm just reminded, actually, when we were in Kenya, three people testified to being healed. People get healed today, don't they? But we don't see it, do we? And that's the point, really. We need to see the demonstration of the power of God, not just for the sake of it, but the people need to see the power of God, don't they? Now, I've said before in church, and I'm not criticising anybody, you know, if we have bright lights and the church looks nice, I'm not against that. I'd probably draw the line at fog machines and that kind of thing. But the point is this, whether you have lights in church or whether you have all that kind of thing, is neither here nor there, really. Have you got the power of God? Is the demonstration of the power of God present? Because that's what we need. That's what I'm praying, that Lord, send your power. Do you remember that song we sang in the 90s and the early 2000s? Send your power. How did it go? Oh, Lord. Send your power, Lord. We need your power. The Bible tells us in Acts that the power of God was there available for them and people were healed. We need that, don't we? We don't need just words. We need words, but it needs to be backed up by the demonstration of the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit. I did not come to you with excellence of speech or of wisdom. You know, I've been in services where, you know, the great man of God has preached and he's preached. And I'm thinking, I could have preached better than that. But to tell you what, the anointing and the power of God was there. And people were getting healed. And people were getting saved. And I'm thinking, that message was so simple. There was nothing wrong with it. But it was anointed and the power of God was demonstrated. We need the power of God, don't we? Do you believe me? I love how Paul says this. I didn't come with excellence of speech or wisdom, with persuasive words of human wisdom. He came with weakness, and trembling. But the power of God was there. Why was the power of God there? So that the Corinthian church should be in the power of God, not with the earthly wisdom. You know, I think, depending on the context, sometimes people need to hear the word, don't they? People need to hear that. Let me start again with that. It says in Romans, doesn't it? How will people hear unless, you know, they've got it? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So we know we need to hear that. But when it comes to being a witness, sometimes some people need to hear it. Everybody needs to hear it. Some people just need to hear it. Other people need to see the demonstration of the power of God, don't they? Yeah. Have you ever been at work somewhere? I know I've done this when I've been responsible for staff, and you're teaching them or training them in something, and they look at you a bit like, well, that'll never work. In fact, I remember a slightly different context. I was working in a factory, we were sort of doing some engineering, and we changed, can you believe this? We changed the gearbox on a lathe. two lathes that were similar but slightly different. So we kind of made it fit in. Gord, you're an engineering kind of chap, mechanical kind of chap. We somehow got it to fit in. And the boss said to me, this nut was really hard to get off the end of this lathe. And I'd got a spanner about as big as this. It was massive. And we're there pulling on it. Well, I said, I know what we need to do. What do we need to do, guys? How would you get that nut off? We got a long length of bar, about 8 foot long it was, and we put it over the spanner. And my boss said to me, what on earth are you doing? That looks ridiculous. What I was doing was actually fixing the problem because it came off, but I was demonstrating how to do it. I showed them a demonstration. That's what a demonstration is, isn't it? You ever been to a... you watch a cookery program. What are they doing? They're demonstrating how to cook, aren't they? In fact, we had some folks round for breakfast the other day, and I did a James Martin trick that I'd been demonstrated. You poach the eggs, and just as they're ready, you put them into cold water. And they sit there till the people come, and you just put them in hot water, and they warm up, and it's great. I saw a demonstration, and it worked. Sometimes people need to see a demonstration of the power of God. It's all about the different context, isn't it, of where we are. But of course, hear what I'm saying. We need the word, and we need the power. Romans 1:16 says this. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. The preaching of the gospel, the actual gospel itself and the preaching of the gospel is the power of God that leads to salvation. Something happens that's miraculous when the gospel is preached. And some people need to hear it, and some people need to see it. So let's just think about a few things. I think Psalm 34, verse 8 springs to mind. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. Sometimes you need to see it to believe it. Sometimes you need to see something. And in Acts chapter 3, you know what happens in Acts chapter 3, don't you? There's a man who's been begging most of his life. And what he wants is some money. That's why you beg, isn't it? He's begging for some money because he can't work. And there's no social security. And Peter and John, what do they say? They walk up to him and say this, silver and gold I don't have, but what I do have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And suddenly everybody sees the demonstration of the power of God. Their words are backed up with the demonstration and the power of God. And right through the whole of the Bible, we see the power of God at work. I said last week, talking in a different context, there's just so many things, isn't there? What do you think about? You think about creation. That's the very first thing, isn't it? That's God's power displayed. People try to say it, they try to believe in evolution and all sorts of things, but God created everything. And then we think about the plagues, not very pleasant, but there were the plagues. That was the demonstration of the power of God. And the Red Sea was split in two. And the Jordan was split in two, and they walked through on dry land. Interestingly, if we were to think about that, when they go into start to go into the promised land, their hearts have melted because they've heard about the demonstration of the power of God. They've seen what he's done. They've heard about it. And where do we even stop with this? Because it's just in every book, it's on every page, really, the power of God. We think of Elijah on Mount Carmel, one of my favourite stories in the Bible. But then we think about Gideon in Judges 7. Now you know the story of Gideon, don't you? Give me a little wave if you know the story of Gideon. 32,000 men are going to go and fight the Midianite army. And God says to them, there's too many of you. There's too many of you. Well, I don't know about you, but when you go to war, the more of you, the better. You want to bring overwhelming force, don't you? And God says, there's too many of you. Why is there too many? Because they'll think you've done it and not me. And so they go through a few different things, don't they? I love this line in Judges where God says, say to the ones who are afraid, you can go home. Imagine that. We're all stood ready for battle. You can go home if you're frightened. 20,000 or 22,000, I think it is. 22,000, that's right. 22,000 go home because they're afraid. And God says, so that leaves 10,000. And God says, there's still too many. And so they do this thing where, depending on how they drink water from the stream, and they end up with 300 men. And God says, now there's the right amount, because it will be very clear that the power of God is demonstrated when the victory comes. And so we know the story. They go out with their trumpets, and they go out with their vessels with their torches in, and they break them. And there's just confusion in the camp. It's nothing to do with the 300. They just needed to be there, and they just needed to go, and they just needed to be obedient. And God gives them the victory. And then everyone sees it. Everyone knows that this is the demonstration of the power of God. Folks, we need it back in the church today, don't we? We need the power of God in our church. We need the power of God in our lives. We need to see God at work. So I've already seen it in Acts 3. They say, rise up and walk. That's the first thing, one of the first things that we can talk about. Then we see in Acts 19, verse 12, so that even handkerchiefs or aprons were bought from his body, from Paul's body, to the sick, and the diseases left them, and the evil spirits went out of them. That's the power of God in action. I've been in meetings where people, and I think this is it's right to do this. You can pray over a handkerchief, and you can go and take it and lay it on somebody, and that can be healed. And this was what was happening. And we need to see this kind of thing happening now. We need the power of God. We need the power of God in our lives. In 1 Corinthians 1:18 and 19, it says this, for the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to those who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. The power of God is displayed right throughout the Bible, right through the book of Acts. We see in miracle after miracle, deliverance. And in fact, if we look at it this way, we see all the things that happened in the Old Testament. We read the Gospels and see what Jesus did, all the miracles that he did. And then we see everything that happens in Acts. And what about the church today? We need to see that same power, which I believe is available to us now. Why haven't we got the power? Why haven't we seen these great things? I don't know, there's a lot of reasons. I suppose people are there's apathy. People don't believe like they used to. We live in a day and age now, when I compare the church to when I was a kid 50 years ago, people hadn't got the distractions of today, have they? You know, there's a lot of distractions now. I think one of the keys to this really is that we spend time in prayer, in that place with God, whether that's on our own, which is really important, whether that's with the corporate prayer meeting. We need to spend time with God, and we need to receive from him the anointing and the equipping of the Holy Spirit to enable us to do what he's called us to do. We need the Holy Spirit, number one. Changed everything on the day of Pentecost. We could preach about this every week, couldn't we? We're a Pentecostal church, but we need to have more and more of the Holy Spirit. More and more of the Holy Spirit, because that's where the power comes from. Power, boldness, gifts. When they were filled with the Holy Spirit, it always changed the circumstance, didn't it? The way they preached, the way they spoke. And just think on the day of Pentecost, which was back in May when we celebrate that as a church, the day of Pentecost came and it changed everything. The power of God was now demonstrated. People were speaking in foreign languages the goodness of God so that everybody heard. Again, we see that the word is important. We need to believe the Bible. I was talking to somebody the other day and they said that they were a universalist. Basically, everybody gets saved. And people are looking at the Bible and not believing it. We need to believe it, don't we? I don't need to look at bits of it and go, well, I don't understand that. That's a bit of a mystery. I don't know if I can believe that. I believe it because this is the Word of God. We might not understand it, which is a different thing, but this is what the Word of God says. And if he says all have sinned, I believe it. If he says everyone who calls on his name, I believe it. And I believe everything else in between because it's the Word of God. And people need to get back to believing the Bible rather than trying to not believe it. It's interesting how people have all kinds of beliefs these days. We need to have faith. It's a similar thing, but we need to have faith to believe that God will do it, don't we? I think in some ways I'd rather not pray for someone if I've got no faith. Because if I've got no faith, there's no point, is there? We need to have faith. We need to step out in faith. We need to believe in faith. We need to trust in God. We need God's guidance to show us the paths that he wants to walk upon. In fact, I probably would say this, we need the power of God's words and his word and the demonstration of it. We need to demonstrate it to people. I've said this so many times over the years that I've been here, that really, we need to see the Holy Spirit moving in our services, don't we? We need to see words in tongues and interpretations. But I've always said this as well, we need to see it out and about in the world, don't we? When you have a word of knowledge for somebody who you've never met before, there was a story I heard years ago, true story, some Jehovah's Witnesses were going around knocking on doors, how they do. And this couple, husband and wife, had a big argument about something. And they went to this Christian's home, and as they're walking up the path, he sees them, and God gives him a word and says, that couple have just been arguing, tell them. And they knock on the door and they start to give their little bit of spiel of what they say. And he said, God's just told me you two have been arguing about such and such. They turned and they ran because they had not experienced the power of God, because what they've got is information. Whereas the Bible brings transformation. And we need the power of God operating all the time, don't we? That tells us to go and do something, to go and speak to someone. And have the courage to do it. In fact, we need to just do it anyway. But really, you know, there are times when God gives us power and gives us a word, and we need to act upon that. I think people in this day and age need to see the power of God. Amen? I think we need to see it. I want to see it. They need to see it as well. So let's be people who step out in faith, who believe, who trust, who pray, who want to be filled, who want to have the courage to go and share the good news with someone, to bring an encouraging word, to demonstrate the love of God and to demonstrate the power of God. So, Father, my prayer really, on the back of this is really, Lord, that you will show your power, send your power, fill us with your Spirit, that we can go out boldly, full of faith, to demonstrate to this world the power of the living God. Because, Lord, we want to see people saved. We want to see them discipled. We want to see them brought into your kingdom, delivered from sin, whatever it might be. It doesn't matter what it is, because your blood covers all sins. Help us, Lord, to operate and move in the power of the Holy Spirit. Lord, not just on Sundays in church. We want that. We need that. But Lord, I pray that in our day-to-day lives, wherever we are, that we will be filled with the Holy Spirit and your power to demonstrate your love and your goodness. In Jesus' name. Amen.